ಪಾಲನ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಕಷ್ಟ ನಿವಾರಕ
ಗೋವಿಂದ. ಇನ್ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ಸೆಗ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಸನಾತನ ಹಿಂದೂ ಸೆಂಟರ್ಸ್ ವಾಯ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸನಾತನ ಹಿಂದೂಯಿಸಂ. We're going to talk about Janmashtami today. So we have
Partha Krishna Swami, who is here on behalf of the Hindus of Greater Houston as we celebrate the 26th Janmashtami festival at the George R. Brown. Welcome to our program. You're on air, Partha ji.
Namaskar, Jai Shri Krishna, Tara ji, and thanks for taking me on the radio station. Jai Shri Krishna, for everybody by now should have known that Hindus of Greater Houston is celebrating the Janmashtami on the 12th of September at the George Brown Convention Center at Hall B1. We are celebrating, as usual, a week after the normal Janmashtami celebrations so that we don't clash with people. People go to their own temples, their friends, their organizations, their families, and enjoy the real Janmashtami. And then we bring everybody together under one roof, which is the motto of Hindus of Greater Houston, and bring them at George Brown Center and celebrate Janmashtami together. That's the speciality that Hindus of Greater Houston has been doing it for the last 25 years, and this is the 26th year of celebration at Janmashtami at the George Brown Convention Center.
Yeah, what are the special kind of features this year that we are bringing? Besides, you know, I hear that we also are going to do the 50th year of Prabhupada coming to the United States.
Yeah. Now, this year, a few special things happening this year. This year, 2015, also marks the 50th year since Swami Prabhupada, the founder of ISKCON Foundation, he came into the United States from India after a very long journey, and I believe he had a couple of heart attacks on his way, but very strong and very strong willpower person came in, and he landed in the United States of America in 2015. That was about 50 years ago. And that is what ISKCON is celebrating, an event called ISKCON 50. So keeping up with the, and they are having it in Houston, the ISKCON 50 is having the inaugural function in Houston. So what we have decided is to work together along with ISKCON 50 and have the celebrations together, which is what our motto is, bringing people together. So that is one thing. So you will find us as well as ISKCON both joining hands together, celebrating the Janmashtami, which is the first unique item. The second very special is he is the chief guest for the evening. We have Sri Ambarish Ford. His actual name is Alfred Ford. He is the great-grandson of Henry Ford, the Ford Motor Corporation. We have called him because he is a pure Hindu, and he has got some very interesting stories that he's going to share with people and inspire the people on what is philanthropism, if I would say. How do you, when people have got enough of wealth or stuff in the pocket and around them, it's easy to give charity, it's easy to give away things when you've got plenty around you. But when you are in a dire situation and when you are in a difficult situation, what makes a person still give? It's easy said in stories, but when you want to really see that in reality of what a person of this caliber, of this position, in dire difficulties did, it'll be really an appealing one, and I'm sure it's going to inspire the youth. So this is something absolutely great to watch. We are just lucky to be associated with this bond for having been able to get the opportunity to bring him to this great event. The first time we've been very successful to bring him on. So that's a very special thing, and I would request everybody, listeners, to come over. He should be speaking around 9 o'clock. It'll be very interesting to see.
Yes.
How he
In gets. Our upcoming program, still the event happens, the Voice of Sanatan Hinduism will definitely air, because I know this Hindus of Greater Houston has been a pet project of Padmakant Kambati, who started this radio program, and we will be backing you up, giving you all the advertisements as well as announcements as needed. And thank you Pataji. You can also send us some recorded kind of a thing that we can keep playing through the program.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Jai Shri Krishna.
And Jai Shri Krishna. Thank you.
Okay, folks, today we're going to talk about the Krishna Janma.
Yes, so that's the upcoming event. This Saturday is the Krishna Janmashtami. So Lord Krishna is the ninth avatar of Lord Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the ninth avatar of Lord Vishnu, the Savatara. Sri Krishna is the most admired and the most popular of all Indian divinities, worshipped across many traditions of Hinduism in various views. The Lord is traditionally credited as the author of Bhagavad Gita. Born in Dwapara Yuga, Krishna is regarded as an embodiment of divine love and joy. The leader of all forms of knowledge, Krishna participated in events of Mahabharata. Krishna's legends are described in various scriptures such as Mahabharata, Hari Vamsa, and Srimad Bhagavat Purana and Vishnu Purana as well. Please give us a call here regarding your opinion and your thought about the Krishna Janma and what is the purpose of Krishna Janma.
And let us know how you celebrate Janmashtami. I know we have a good program coming up, the Janmashtami Utsav, at the George R. Brown Convention Center. We like everybody to attend that. It's going to be wonderful. The kids will enjoy it. There is a costume contest, and later on there'll be some Dandiya Ras also. So we're talking about Krishna Janma. Give us a call. Our number is 832-704-9273. So how does Krishna Janma is celebrated in southern India?
In southern India, we welcome Krishna to each of our homes. Initially, you know, we start decorating the house, and the preparation starts in the morning till evening. Krishna Janma being in the midnight, so what happens is we kind of clean the house and we make small baby steps right from our, you know, rangoli, that is in the front of the house. Normally, people kind of elaborate rangoli each of their homes, and then we have steps of little Krishna's feet walking right from there all the way into the altar of your puja room.
Okay.
So that is one thing. And then from morning till evening, they'll make as many dishes as they can. Krishna Janmashtami is full of eatables. As a child, that is what you thoroughly enjoy. Mostly, you know, they keep making this, we call it murukku, chida. These are snacks only for Janmashtami. And also we make naivedya, which is purely, you know, we put butter and, you know, the sugar candy.
Okay.
Those two mixed with that, and that is for special for Krishna. Till Krishna eats at in the midnight soon after he is born, we are not supposed to eat that. So we all wait for that midnight kind of an puja. And usually the families get together to celebrate that. And of course, you know, there are so many dances, music associated with it throughout. We kind of keep singing bhajans of Lord Krishna. And yeah, pretty much in South India, that is what happens. Whereas in Karnataka, where my in-laws come from, they decorate a small cradle, and then they put a lot of fruits hanging around it through, you know, and then they decorate the cradle itself, imagining that Krishna as a small baby will be in the house that day. And I think in Kerala also they have a different type of, South India has got different, each state has its own way they celebrate Krishna Janmashtami.
Right. And do you fast on that day or not?
Yes. Generally the elders in the family fast completely, whereas children are given little bit, whatever they want to eat in between, they are given that, but it's not a hard and fast rule that everybody fasts.
Right, so it's, it varies from place to place and families to families.
Yes. My
some people eat one time or some people eat fruit and...
Yeah, my grandparents don't eat,
right.
And then they make, though, they'll be, my grandmother will be so kind of busy baking all the sweets for everybody.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, she'll probably have a cup of coffee or milk or juice to sustain herself to be so active. And yeah, it is more a dedication of, you know, to have Krishna in your mind and do stuff.
Right.
So, right, like all the avatars have some purpose. What was the purpose of Krishna avatar? What was, why did he took this earth? And what was the main reason for that?
The most important is that, you know, the Kali Yuga has got all kinds of vices and all kinds of kind of things that you cannot imagine. Whereas the previous Yuga where Krishna was born, to put out an example for the rest of the human race, humanity, how they should evolve themselves, how they should be a, you know, more kind of a thing, especially, you know, pronouncing the Bhagavad Gita itself is a treasure that humanity can value through Krishna's Janma.
So Krishna Janma was towards the end of the Dwapara Yuga.
Dwapara Yuga.
And, so soon after that the Kali Yuga began.
Yes.
So he knew very well what's going to happen, and then he wanted to lay some ground rules for people in Kali Yuga.
Yeah. See, between Treta, Dwapara and Kali, Treta Yuga had lot of demons. You talk of Rakshasa,
right.
You talk of Ravana, you talk of so many. And in the Dwapara Yuga, some of their thing came down. But he destroyed everybody. In Dwapara Yuga, all the demons were destroyed. But the human mind was still corrupted, and the human race, the Manushya Janma, was not destroyed.
No, but all these Rakshasas and all this undesirable element was very powerful, but it was not all over, not spread all over. Mm-hmm. But in Kali Yuga, it is expected to be everywhere, more widespread. So that is the difference between the other Yuga and Kali
And
Yuga.
You know, Krishna's birth itself, if you talk about his birth, he was born in a prison. Okay, and then he was carried over to Mathura to be raised by a different set of parents, and then he came back to fight for his right, and he fight how, you know, the exemplary kind of a thing came from the way he was born, how he lived, how he kind of processed everything, even by helping Pandavas and Kauravas in that whole process. He stood for justice, and he told, you know, in no kind of uncertain terms, if you do something wrong, you are going to be punished.
Right.
Or you have and to pay for your...
So the very famous sutra or the sloka of Bhagavad Gita is, he himself says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata tadatmanam sujamiham sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever dharma or the situation of law and order is endangered on this world,
mm-hmm.
I came into this world to re-establish dharma, law and order, and to protect the sadhus and saints, and to destroy the evil elements of the society.
It is said that is the most powerful of the incarnations of Vishnu. Although Ramavatar exemplified how a true person can be, you know,
human being
adhering
can
to dharma, there are certain questionable traits of Krishna that, you know, people can say, what does that mean? Why did he be like that? But then, according to the Vishnu avatars, he is one of the closest to the heart of the masses. People loved Krishna. The moment you talk about him, something happens to that person. Like, transformation occurs, and that is why Janmashtami is more popular then Ram Navami. Ram Navami is also equally celebrated with many kind of significance towards it.
Right. Rama avatar was straightforward. Okay, this has happened, okay, do this. Finish it.
Yes.
On Krishna,
the principles of human values are established in Rama avatar, whereas principles of dharma, artha, kama and moksha, It dwells with everything, you know, being with gopis and being with every gopi's house. All the 14,000 gopis also had to share Krishna equally.
Mm.
So that part, certain things, you know, might come into question for the ignorant. But when you really understand the value, I think both the avatars represent our Hindu dharma to the fullest.
Right.
But
and the other difference is he was very powerful. He showed the his might, but also same time he used diplomacy as well.
Correct. Protector, philosopher, teacher, and a friend. He took in different aspects, dimensions of that kind of a thing to spread what is right, what is wrong.
So he kind of set up the rule for us in years to come, ages to come. And so he used kind of give us a perfect example of how you can fight all kind of situation in your life.
Yeah, and when Rakesh Bhai asked me how do you celebrate, that is how we celebrate it. Whereas in North India, they have matki. They kind of say, they go and play the way like Krishna
right,
played.
Yeah.
They would depict all those and also, you know, they place him in a cradle just like we all do, but they also have lot of fun in Dwaraka, Gujarat and all that. They come alive with major celebrations, and I think, yes, Krishna Janmashtami is the most popular of all the events happening all over India, but each of us celebrate it in a very different way.
In Mumbai they have this matki and every year it gets higher and higher, and whoever gets the highest one.
It has become a business though, right?
Right, also business, but also fun, and also become a little bit of dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And we will come back to the symbolic significance of his birth as described by one of the proponents of in South India. So do we have a music, Rakesh Bhai?
जगदीश्वरा करुणा करा जगदीश्वरा करुणा करा केशवा माधवा गोपाला
सिर धरे मटकिया डोले सिर धरे मटकिया डोले रे कोई श्याम मनो हर लो रे कोई श्याम मनो हर लो रे सिर धरे मटकिया टकिया डोले कोई श्याम मनो हर लो रे कोई श्याम मनो हर लो दधि को नाम बिसर कृष्ण के रूप छकी है ग्वाल छकी है ग्वाल 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 koi shyam mano hare re more koi shyam mano hare re mera ke prabhu girdar nagar girdar
talking about Janmashtami, Krishna Janma. Go ahead.
Actually, you know, we are talking about the significance of worship of Lord Krishna. We have to know who Krishna is and what constitutes the real self. The significance of his worship presents a remarkable divine personality. The Shastra define him as the etymological meaning of the word Krishna. The word composed of the Krish means Bhu, the shelter of all existence, and Na means Nivritri, which is the form of supreme bliss. And combined they form Krishna, which signifies the Parabrahma, the supreme absolute truth. And Krishna is a self-existing bliss. The Vedanta has designed it as Anandam Parabrahma. Tatraya Upanishad says that he is Ras, Ananda of bliss. That who drinks that Ras becomes full of bliss. In another sense, it also Krishna means attraction, karshana. The moment you look at him, he akarshan. We also say akarshan, that is, he attracts all who will give them bliss and will be blissful himself, is also known as Krishna. And the word Krishna means all attractive. And also there is one more thing, which is darkness. That is also, black is also considered. In Sanskrit, you know, one word can have about 100 meanings, many meanings. And it is also a super excellent in every aspect. He exhibits his aspect of a smaller to the smallest, known as Paramatma, Krishna Paramatma. When he exhibits his aspect as the greater of the greatest, he is known as Brahma. And then again, reconciling the microscopic and the macroscopic cosmic natures, accepting the medium-sized forms, Sri Krishna performs wonderful pastimes in his infinite variety and orders of truth, of the dual and non-dual, which is absolute truth that we have, you know, lot of philosophy or controversies go between Visishta Advaita, Advaita, Shankaracharya's interpretation of the word, especially for the new dualism or the absolute knowledge. And Brahma, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The Brahma signifies the largest Brahmatva. Paramatma is the smallest, the Anutva, the atom of atoms. There exists Brahma. And the Bhagavan, the all-opulent, is the Sri Vaishnavarya Matva, says possessing all the riches, all the strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation is all compiled into one microscopic, microcosmic kind of a entity. In other words, this encompasses the largest, smallest, the middle and everything of all existence. The word Bhagwan reveals that different aspects of this and the jnani experiences both the non-dual tattva of the Brahma. And the yogi realizes him as Paramatma, and the bhakti sees him as Bhagwan. Bhagwan manifests infinite pastimes for infinite forms among Sri Krishna and his original form. And going to one topic of saying, considering Guru as Bhagwan is not correct, because of the fact the Guru breathes like you and I. He is only a guiding factor, but you cannot make a Guru a Bhagwan. So there has to be a complete distinction. When the Bhagwan can make you think, even the thinking power comes from Bhagwan. Even for the Guru, the guidance comes from Bhagwan. Somebody is controlling a Guru. Yes or no, Rakesh bhai, you're looking
guru,
at me.
No.
Guru cannot be Guru cannot be Bhagwan, but Bhagwan can be Guru.
Of course.
Right. No, when you're mentioning it, you know, I mean, I understand and I completely understand, but there are certain people who think, Guru is also guiding you.
But no, it's Guru. A lot of people, from respect for them, they may say, Guru, he is my Bhagwan.
Right.
Guru is my Bhagwan. That's out of respect, but in philosophical term, Guru is Guru. Guru is the one who takes you to Bhagwan.
Exactly. So, and the thing is, if the Guru is a Guru is Bhagwan, is Krishna, then how could your Guru be your Bhagwan? I mean, that's my thing. What I'm saying is, Guru looks at his Guru to be the Bhagwan. His Bhagwan, Guru's Bhagwan is Krishna or Ram, right? So how could be the Guru be your Bhagwan? Cannot be.
No.
Krishna and Ram should be the Bhagwan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
correct?
Yeah. See, the all-pervasive one who is claiming, I neither have birth nor death. Okay? Whereas when you see a Guru who is only a human form, he has his own limitations, and Guru also, you know, you can exist, see him, feel him, touch him. But once he is also bound by the principles of birth and death. He cannot say, I am Bhagwan. Bhagwan is only the supreme bliss. Completely you are, if you have really realization, some people you can see Bhagwan in them, but he doesn't become a Bhagwan. I also feel there were souls that lived and gone. Especially, you know, when you talk about the Kanchi Mahapariva, you could see there is so much divinity in him. But there were aspects of him that many people, controversy, they argued with him and all that. But the blind faith is what taking people to think of Guru as their Bhagwan. I absolutely feel that is wrong. But it is a blind faith that, you know, if your faith can really make things happen, that is a different thing altogether.
It is wrong. And the other thing is, when Guru is still alive, he or she is not telling them that, hey, I'm not your Bhagwan.
He shouldn't claim saying that I am Bhagwan. But they say, I don't do it, but only people who come to me are telling me that.
No, that's true. But then they can say, hey, I'm not Bhagwan. My Bhagwan is Krishna or Ram.
When that happens, Guru should say, yes, no, I am not Bhagwan. He should guide properly.
Exactly.
To the disciples.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, so that dumb.
If it's really true, he should prove that he is Bhagwan.
Well, you know, like other people will give a lot of examples, and they will give you. So there might be a lot of cop-outs too. So
but it's like a legendary story, you know. It becomes bigger and bigger legend after a while. After 10 years, it will become this, and after 100 years, it will totally out of proportion.
Exactly. You're listening to Voice of Sanatana Hinduism on Radio K-Breeze 106.1 FM or 102.1 FM HD3 in Houston, Texas. You can also listen to us on the internet at www.sanatanhinducenter.org and clicking on the Listen Live button. And smartphone users can download TuneIn app and search for 106.1 FM. For announcements or suggestions, and the things that we talk about and what you like to talk about, or you want to listen to any bhajans, give us a call. Our number, studio number, is 832-704-9273. Again, our number is 832-704-9273. And let's listen to this beautiful bhajan by Jagjit Singh.
Jai Gopi Jan Vallabh.
Spirituality is not running away from hardship. This is an article by Swami Mukundananda. Very often people misunderstand the concept of detachment. When people face reversals or any had experiences in the world, they think they have become detached from the world. You can see hundreds and thousands of people wanting to take up spirituality simply because they can't bear adversities. There will be people running away from the world because their partners left them or they failed in their examinations. This is surely not detachment. If these people were to face reversals in the path of spirituality, they would react in the same way and get detached from God as well. The reason is simple. Those people are not detached from the world. They are merely detached from the miseries of the world. In other words, they are running away from miseries. If we truly wish to walk the path of divine love, we will have to learn to overcome our miseries. If someone does something bad to us that makes us resent, the solution will lie in overcoming the resentment, not in running away from it. This world is full of dualities of happiness and sorrow and success and failure. The path of divine love requires that we take happiness and distress in the same way. In fact, in the path of divine love, saints tell us that pain and miseries are even more elevating because they speed up the process of purifying our heart. If we can learn to see our miseries with the right mindset, each setback can be opportunity to become more humble, tolerant, and patient. In other words, spirituality is not about running away from hardships. It is about facing happiness and distress with equanimity. Swami Mukundananda is a world-renowned teacher of spirituality, yoga, and meditation. He is the founder of the unique yogic system, JK Yoga, also known as yoga for the body, mind, and souls. So this was an article in the India Herald, which was published on Wednesday, August 19th. And the topic was, spirituality is not running away from hardship.
छोटो सो मेरो मदन गोपाल, छोटो सो मेरो मदन गोपाल,
छोटी छोटी गैया छोटे छोटे बाल, छोटी छोटी
This radio show is supported by listeners like you and by Sanatan Hindu Center, which arranges funeral and cremation services in the Hindu traditional way. Call 832-361-0625 or 832-704-9273 and we'll take care of your cremation needs. We appreciate your continuous patronage. A big thank you to you, all artists, producers, and publishers for allowing your production to be utilized on Voice of Sanatan Hinduism. We will meet you next Sunday at 9 a.m. on KBRIZ 106.1 FM or 102.1 FM HD3 or by logging on to www.sanatanhinducenter.org. Smartphone users can download TuneIn app and search for KBRIZ 106.1 FM. Have a blissful week ahead by grace of Lord. God bless all of us, United States of America, Bharat, and planet Earth. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And now it is time for welfare, Kalyan, and Mangalam of all.
पति मां